We need to recognize that we're not here just simply for ourselves, that we are here for Christ. That when we are slandered and maligned and insulted because of Christ, because of His righteousness, we are to rejoice and recognize what God is doing. And if we are true believers, we're going to endure. We're going to remain under to the end.
Thanks for joining us for this Thursday edition of Equipping the Saints, featuring the Bible teaching of Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, there are those who believe that the world is getting better and better, and eventually Christ will just come back and start His reign here on earth. But that seems hard to imagine with all that we see happening around us.
You know, Dave, just a quick survey of what we've seen in history so far, based on that alone, will reveal that the world is not getting better. But even more damaging to that point is what God reveals in Scripture itself. So with that in mind, what does Scripture really say about the coming of Christ and the end of the age? That's what we're going to consider today. Our passage is Matthew chapter 24, verses 9 to 14.
Well, thanks, Greg. And if you're new to Equipping the Saints, head over to our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org, to learn more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Our web address is simply etsradio.org. Now, with today's message, here's our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
It is at this point all apart from Christ will hate those of Christ. You're going to be hated, he says in this context. Turn to John chapter 15. We see why believers are hated. We have this now, but at this time, it will be a time of most intense sin and hatred. Right before the end of this age, before Christ comes, sin is at its pinnacle in wickedness, and yet we'll see the testimony of Christ is at its pinnacle also. John chapter 15, verse 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, because I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they'll keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me. And down in Matthew 10, and I'll read this for you, Matthew 10, 23, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above his master. It is enough that a disciple, that he become as his teacher, and the slave as his master, Matthew 10, 25. If they have called the head of the household Beelzebul, how much more the members of his household? Brother and sister, if we are persecuted, it is because of Christ. Now, there are a lot of believers who are persecuted because they're jerky Christians, because they're arrogant or they're ungodly in the way they address the world. But true persecution is because of, as we see in Matthew 5, because on account of Christ, on account of righteousness, for righteousness' sake. Well, why would a godly life cause those who don't know Christ want to persecute those of Christ? John chapter 3 gives us the answer. John 3, verse 19, Jesus says, "And this is the judgment, that the light came into the world, and men loved darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, having been wrought in God." In the tribulation, we will see in a moment, as Jesus shares in the next few verses, that lawlessness will be increased, sin will be at its max, and therefore man will be at its worst and will hate Christ its most. Persecution will increase. And folks, there is persecution for us. We saw it in Matthew 5. We're not in the tribulation, but there is persecution for believers right now. And we are to rejoice and be glad, for our reward in heaven is great. It's just par for the course. So they persecuted the prophets. If you are walking with Christ, the world is going to hate you. And it's going to come even in your families, wherever it might be. Someone who is genuinely saved, who has ceased by and large the behavior that they were in before, is going to be persecuted by those who don't know Christ. Jesus Christ said, "I came to bring a sword to divide families." Salvation divides families. And we pray that those who are not saved will be saved, but until that point, there will be persecution. So here we see back in our passage, and you will be hated by all the nations, all the nations. The Jews will be hated by all the nations on account of my name. We have all the nations, those nations who have rejected Christ. This is the day of the Lord. He is beginning and getting ready to pour out his wrath on the nations. And the nations hate him. And so they hate the Jews, and here specifically believers. Now with that in mind, notice also they're going to be hated by the Jewish non-believers. Back in our passage, Matthew 24. And at that time, many will fall away and will deliver up one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. And because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. He says, verse 10, and at that time, what time is that? That is the time in which they are killing you. This time of tribulation, at that time, he says something else. Many will fall away. The word is scandalazo. It means to stumble or to be snared. And in this passive voice, it speaks of someone who is falling away over something in a sense. They are turning away or falling away. And Peter uses this word in Matthew 26 when he says to Jesus, I won't fall away. I won't scandalazo. I won't turn away. When Jesus predicted he would be denied. In the parable of the sower, those who fall away because of the persecution that comes because of the word, it's the same word here, scandalazo. Jesus is saying, at that time, many who appear to be following him are going to fall away. Folks, there isn't going to be anybody at that time who has a said faith truly in that sense, or truly identifies with true believers. They're going to fall away. Many, at least, we see here. They will fall away. When persecution comes for the word, like the parable of the sower, they fall away. We've seen that many times here, even on small scale. People who claim the name of Christ and then life gets difficult or whatever it is because of the word, and they fall away because they truly did not have a relationship with the living God. And notice what will happen. Many will fall away and same group will deliver up one another and hate one another. Here we have those who are hiding away from this Antichrist in this context, and they are going to be delivered up or handed over and hate one another. Speaking of Jews, we see hatred here of false Jewish brethren who have turned away and are delivering up their own brothers. Even family members will deliver family members to be executed at this time. Matthew chapter 10, turn there, verse 17. And this is the reason why I don't believe that we have more of this discourse recorded in Matthew 24 and 25 as we do in Mark, because Matthew has already explained a lot of this back in chapter 10, which mirrors what we see in Mark chapter 13 also. Matthew 10:17, but beware of men. This is in this tribulation time. Beware of men. For they will deliver you up to the courts and scourge you in the synagogues. We have Jew and Gentile. And you shall be brought before governors for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. You're going to be delivered up as a testimony. Verse 22, go down a little farther, and brother will deliver up brother to death. They're not going to kill their siblings. They're going to deliver them over to be killed. It is an evil, wicked time. Children will rise against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all on account of my name. But it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved. You will have apostasy, betrayal, and hate. And notice, lastly here, we see deception. Verse 11, back in 24. And many false prophets will arise and mislead many. This will be a time of deception. And we know the beast and his false prophet will be deceiving people with signs and wonders. We'll see that next week. And there are many false prophets. There will be a great deception. Read chapter 13 again where we see the deception there in Revelation. And God is going to allow this deception to happen because people have turned away from him so as not to love the truth. Turn with me. I do want to read this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. This is speaking of the Antichrist, and I just want to read this portion so you can see why God allows this deception. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. This is speaking of the Antichrist. That is the one who is coming in accord with the activity of Satan. We saw that, right? Satan gives him all his power, right? With all power, signs, and false wonders. and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish. Why? Because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. If you reject the truth of God concerning salvation in Christ, He will allow you to be deceived to your judgment. And that's what He says here. He says, and for this reason, verse 11, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they might believe what is false, in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth but took pleasure in wickedness. Don't play around with the gospel. If you are convicted, you hear His voice, turn, because God will allow you to go your own way. And in this case, He allows them to be deceived to their judgment because they rejected the truth that Jesus Christ came in human flesh, that He died for our sins and that He rose from the dead, and that He paid the penalty for our sins, and that we are worthy of judgment in hell, but yet He paid the penalty. And by faith in Him, we are saved when we repent of our sins, trusting in Christ Jesus as Lord. Even in our passage in Matthew, we have the warning later on. He says, many false Christs and false prophets will come and arise and show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. The reality is that all that don't know Christ are going to be misled all the way to judgment. And what a gracious God we have here warning them not to fall into that. Many will be misled. And lastly, back in Matthew 24, we'll see sin is increased. This is a time where man's sin is at its absolute apex before Christ comes in His final judgment here upon the earth. Not the final judgment, but His judgment upon the earth. Verse 12, and because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. And there's a lot of interpreters that say lawlessness means it's just like there's not going to be many police and the governments aren't going to have control of law. That's not true. We saw earlier there are going to be courts and governors. There is law, but lawlessness in this context in Matthew speaks of sin. John says in 1 John 3, sin is lawlessness. It is speaking of personal sin increased. Matthew 7, what are those guys who say, you know, Lord, Lord, didn't we do all this stuff in Your name? He says, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You're sinners. You're still in your sin. Matthew 13, concerning the coming judgment in the parable of the tares, Jesus says, and those who commit lawlessness will be cast into the furnace of fire where there shall be weeping and gnashing teeth. It's personal sin. Remember what Jesus said when He condemned the Pharisees in His woes. He said, you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness or sin. It's personal sin increasing. It'll be a time of increasing personal sin. And then it says love will grow cold. The word means to be extinguished. Love will be extinguished. What a horrifying time. But it has to happen. It precedes the coming of Christ in judgment to make all things right. But it's because of sin. Is the time in which God will judge sin and sinners, the day of the Lord. And yet within that, He will purge sin from Israel and save them. What a horrible time. Family against family, death, sin arriving at its apex, false prophets, wickedness, deceit. This is what will immediately precede the end of this evil age, by the way. Yet with this horrifying picture, notice these Jewish disciples might be tempted to give up. Jesus share something that will encourage them. Verse 13, but the one who endures to the end, he shall be saved. What is he talking about here? We have a contrast. In contrast to this incredible wickedness in the context of death, but the one who endures to the end, he shall be saved. These Jews are going to be killed because of Christ. Well, how can they be saved then? It doesn't make sense on the surface, does it? What is he saying? Well, obviously, the end speaks of either death through persecution or when Christ comes. If they endure to the end, their own death through persecution or when Christ comes. The term endure means to remain under. This is the same phrase used in Matthew 10 and Luke 13. Those who do not slip out under the extreme pressure to compromise for the sake of sparing their lives at this time, these are the ones, I believe he's saying, who are saved. He's not saying that their works are going to save them. We know that no one is saved by works, for by grace we are saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, is the gift of God, not of works. The point is, those who endure to the end, they're the ones who are delivered, even in the context of death. They're the ones who endure to the end. This is the perseverance of the saints. These are the ones who do not compromise their faith. They do not deny Christ even at the face of death, at the worst time the world has ever seen, the worst persecution there will ever be. True believers will continue in the faith. Make believers will fall away. Your endurance is an evidence you're going to make it to the end. I believe that's the encouragement. In the midst of the most horrible time you will ever experience, the one who endures to the end, this is the one who will be saved. Let me ask you, friend, what's your response when you're persecuted for Christ? Does it manifest a true, genuine relationship for Christ? Now lastly, why would God allow this tribulation to happen? Why would he allow them to be killed? Why would he let this happen to those who have trusted in Christ? Why would he let this horror happen? Why would he give Satan the authority for 3.5 years through the Antichrist to kill the saints? Why would he do that? I think we have the answer in verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world for a witness to all the nations, and then the end shall come. Now, folks, this verse is almost universally misinterpreted by missions organizations. They interpret this that we have to go out and preach the gospel and then Christ will come in the rapture. This is not what this is saying. We know the context here. This is not what it's saying. This is not the church age. This is the tribulation. And these guys who have these views are so far out of whack, you need to stay away from them and stay away from ministries that misinterpret the word of God. Now, as I studied this was really difficult for me. And what caught me as I prayed about it and pondered about it for a long time was this phrase, and this gospel of the kingdom. He doesn't say, and the gospel of the kingdom shall be proclaimed. He says, and this gospel. And I prayed about, what do you mean, Lord, about this? Well, I believe as we look at this, in some way, shape, or form, he is connecting what he has just said to this statement, and this gospel of the kingdom, not the gospel, this gospel shall be proclaimed. Now, the gospel of the kingdom is the reality that the king has come and he has called upon all to repent of their sin. And he died for our sins. But yet he says and gives this nuance, this gospel. What does he mean by this? I believe he's referring to the testimony of himself that is brought forth through those Jewish believers who are martyred and endure to the end. This has to happen before he comes. He's allowing them, as we'll see, to be martyred so that they would testify, even in the time of the most worst sin the world would ever see, the truth of Christ is coming out and being testified to all the nations. Notice what he says. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world for a what? Witnessed, or literally a testimony to all the nations. And if you read through all of those who are persecuted in Revelation, I can't go through all the verses, each one has this phrase as a testimony of Jesus. I'll read a couple of them. Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. I, John, your brother, fellow partaker of the tribulation and kingdom and perseverance which is in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. Revelation 6, 9. And when he broke the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God, because of the testimony which they had maintained. Revelation 12, 11. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb, because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life even to death. Revelation 12, 17. And the dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments or commands of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. And this gospel shall be proclaimed through all the nations. Then the end will come. That's why Christ was allowing them to suffer in this context. We'll see there's other reasons that he's purging Israel to save them, but this is one of the reasons for a testimony to the nations who were about to be judged at God's full strength and full wrath, where God finally comes upon this unbelieving, wicked world and judges them. And God is using, even in this most wicked time of sin, these believers who are being martyred to testify of Jesus. I believe that's what he's saying. This must happen, then the end will come. Christ is using the worst to bring about the best. Isn't that what God does? He takes the worst sin that man and Satan can pour upon and he turns it ultimately for good. We see that in the cross, the worst sin that Satan could bring about, which is to crucify the Son of God. Yet God pre-planned and prepared that this would be the means in which he brought about salvation. and the suffering and persecution that we experience are opportunities to bear forth the truth of Christ. And the suffering of that end time, which will be unto death, will be the greatest opportunity to testify of Christ in the midst of the greatest wickedness. Do you think the world's getting better? If you do, I would say you're deceived. God's word says it's not going to get better, and it isn't getting better. It's going to get worse. It's getting worse for us, the church, isn't it? Evil men and imposters proceeding from bad to worse. It's getting more intense. Indeed, those who desire to live godly will be persecuted. But Christ is coming for us. And he is using this persecution for his glory to manifest the reality of his saving truth. And the same is true in this final 7 years when sin is at its max. Christ will be using this to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom for his glory. So we've seen the tribulation in relationship to the Jews. They're going to be persecuted to death. But those who endure to the end, they're the ones who are saved. And God is using this, even in the time of man's greatest sin, to bring forth his saving gospel. How does this apply to us? We need to see things rightly when we are maligned and slandered. We need to not take things personally. We need to see the reality that God is opening opportunities for the truth to be manifest in those situations. We need to recognize that we're not here just simply for ourselves, that we are here for Christ. That when we are slandered and maligned and insulted because of Christ, because of his righteousness, we are to rejoice and recognize what God is doing. And if we are true believers, we're going to endure. We're going to remain under to the end. And also, we as the church should be praising him that we're not going to go through this wrath. We are not destined for wrath. We should be praising him. He's delivered us from our sins, and we will not go through this horrid time. There's some of you here who are on the road to judgment. You are under God's wrath right now. Every sin you have is piling up. God is piling up everything. You are going to be judged for everything. But Jesus Christ died for your sins. He paid the penalty, and you do not have to experience his judgment. He offers salvation to you for free. If you will come to him, you will cry out in a desire to be saved, repentance and faith in Jesus. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Don't think you can wait it out and change later. God will allow deluding influences. He will allow you to be hardened all the way to judgment. Don't let that happen. Revelation 14:6. And I saw another angel flying in mid-heaven, having the eternal gospel to preach to those who live on the earth and to every nation and tribe and tongue. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory." Do you do that? Have you been changed? Because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who has made the heaven and the earth and the sea and the springs of water.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Matthew. And you can hear today's message again by visiting our website. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all of our audio resources are available at no cost to you. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we wrap up our time together, even though true believers won't be going through the tribulation, there are lessons for us in this passage today.
Oh, Dave, there certainly are. And let me just close with one of those lessons. You see, when life begins to fall apart and it looks like maybe God has abandoned you, take heart, brother and sister. The Lord is still in control. And as we learned, even in the worst of times, in the most devastating and painful times, the Lord is never uncaring, never unloving. He is faithful forever. You see, he is a gracious, merciful high priest, and he is forever the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Don't let the temporal circumstances of this life pull your eyes off of the true hope we have in the Lord Jesus. Let those times draw you towards him and depend upon him and trust in the sovereign God of the universe, who will hold you up with his right hand, that you may be encouraged and built up for his sake and his glory.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has Equipping the Saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.